The Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
WGN Chicago.
720 WGN.
844. I think it's important on this show to take every advantage we can to check in with Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson. And because there is progress being made in the one of the toughest crime situations you could possibly have. And not only to talk about that, but to talk about the bad stuff, too. And the superintendent joins us now. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Steve. How you doing today?
I'm doing fine. And, of course, I want to ask about you, too, because you look great, and I hope you feel great. How's the health?
Oh, I do. I feel really great. We're making progress, so I'm hoping to have something done in about the next month.
All right. We got to start with some bad news here first. What happened in Austin last night?
Well, you know, we think it was narcotics related, you know, but that just goes to show you, you know, we just have too many guns out here in the streets of Chicago and too many people willing to use them.
Superintendent, you had a bit of a victory this week. You were down in Springfield. Governor Rauner has signed the gun crime bill favored by you and the mayor. Cracks down on repeat offenders. Explain what this bill will do and how this will help you and the officers out there.
Okay, so what this bill does, it doesn't change sentencing to mandatory sentencing. We're still using the current guidelines, but what we've done is essentially forced judges to sentence repeat gun offenders to the higher end of the sentencing guidelines that's already out there. And if they can still deviate, but if they do, they have to make the decision public, a written public statement as to why. So what it does is actually hold these repeat gun offenders more accountable, because this business of them committing the same violent crimes again and again and only getting 6 months in jail time is ridiculous. So now they will get the jail time that's fitting for the crimes that they commit.
And how many times have we seen this where, you know, an old lady is sitting on her porch minding her own business, or a kid's playing in the park, and one of these jerks who can't shoot straight doesn't hit the other gangbanger, hits the kid or hits the old lady, and then we find out that the guy just got out of jail and he should have been locked up and should have been locked up forever. So this isn't going to fix everything, but it puts a big dent in the problem, I think.
Yeah, it does. It does. You know, and I want people to understand that, like you said, Steve, it's not the magic solution, but it's a piece of the puzzle we need to put together to reduce this gun violence, because it is ridiculous when these guys continuously show us that they just don't want to play by the rules of society. So now we've got something in place that will hold them more accountable.
You know, in an effort to try to get the wider population to understand, I always come back to the same thing, but I know it's true, and because I believe it's true and know it's true, I think it's important for people to understand. You take the toughest neighborhoods in Chicago, in quotes, the worst neighborhoods in Chicago, the vast majority, and I'm talking 99% of these neighborhoods want the same thing you want in Naperville and on the North Shore and on the Gold Coast. You just want to live your life. You just want to get up in the morning. You want your kids to be able to go to school. You want to go to your job and come home. And you want to be able to sit outside or take a walk on a nice summer night in this beautiful city. I mean, that's the same thing you experience, right?
You're exactly right. You know, I think that, especially with the national media painting such a terrible picture of some of our neighborhoods. But listen, I spend a lot of time in those areas, and most of the people, the majority of them, want the same things that everybody else do. They, and as a matter of fact, they actually want the police to be in those communities.
Right.
They just want the police to treat them fairly and respectfully, and that's not a lot to ask for. But they want a safe environment like everyone does. We just have a few knuckleheads out there that just don't want to do the right thing. And, you know, as I said, Steve, before, our goal is not to incarcerate more people. Our goal is to create a mental culture in this city so they won't want to pick up these guns and use them. And I think we're getting there. So, you know, of course, with the gun bill and the other things we've put in place, we still have to prop up these neighborhoods, you know, in economic development, more jobs, education, and things of that nature. But for those few that don't want that, then we have something else for them.
Superintendent, you talk about the neighborhoods, especially in my District 1, and I know there's been an increased presence in 12, but specifically 1 as well with the bike robberies on the L. I'm seeing more officers on the street, along the bike path, and especially on the L trains, the CTA, early in the morning. So there's a push to have more officers out there. I think that makes everybody feel safer.
Yeah, it does. You know, we have to be smart about the way we do our deployment. So, of course, we are concerned about the downtown area, but we're also equally as concerned about the outlying areas. So, you know, we move around and we adjust things as, excuse me, as dictates. But, you know, all of those areas are of concern to us.
What, knowing how the rank and file seems to feel about you, every cop I talk to loves the fact that you're the boss. Maybe I missed a few. But what's one thing that you feel that you and the CPD leadership are working on and need to do better?
Well, you know, what we need to do better is keep the rank and file more informed about what it is we're trying to do and why we're doing it so that they'll know. A lot of the things that we're doing, Steve, is basically to help them be able to do their jobs better. So, sure. Like in the next coming months, all the way up until December, we'll be rolling out 60 new squad cars a month to help them do what we need them to do. So better equipment, better training, all of that stuff we need to do a better job at.
And what do you need from citizens that would help make the job not easier but safer and more effective for the cops?
What I need from citizens is to know this. You know, being a police officer, especially right now, is difficult. And you got a lot of men and women out here that go out there every day despite the national narrative against police. They go out there every day trying to keep the citizens safe. So when you see a cop out there, just say hello, you know, hope you have a nice day. That type of thing goes a long way because they're people, too. And I think people forget that. They see the uniform, but they don't see the person in that uniform.
And we're getting a new ATF van, too. I know that was unveiled earlier this week, too. That's going to help solve crimes, catch the bad guys as well. And perhaps Senator Durbin said we could have more of these here in Chicago.
Well, that's a good thing to bring up to you, yeah. Superintendent. There used to be a lot of jurisdictional fights between the FBI and the CPD and the ATF and all of them. I assume and I certainly hope that you guys all work together better than ever.
So now we have a great relationship. You know, they have really stepped up their game to help us with this violent crime. So that van really helps out a lot because what it does is gives us the ability to test fire firearms on the scene and get the ballistic evidence, which is the shell casings, and match it up instead of it taking us weeks and sometimes months to get those results back. That van can do it in an hour or so. So that helps us connect the dots with firearms that are used in different shootings. So, you know, once we catch that bad guy, then we can match him up to a lot of the shootings going on because there's not a lot of people out here that's doing the shooting in this city. It's a small subsection of the bad guys out here, but that small subsection we need to identify quickly and hold them accountable.
There's always political answers to everything. The political answers generally are the long answer. Obviously, you need great father figures at home like you need great mother figures. Obviously, you need job opportunities for these kids so they don't take the wrong path. You need a strong church community, which most of the city has. You need all of that, a good foundation for these kids to grow up in so they can maximize their lives and have hope. And they're not ready to check out at 18 and they don't care what happens to them. But that's the long answer. One of the reasons we like talking to you, Superintendent, the short answer is what's happening now and what can we do now? And that's why we like staying in touch with you.
Well, the short answer is this. When people see things occurring in their neighborhoods, they need to step up to the plate and let us know. Because, listen, police officers very seldom witness the actual crime.
Right.
That's very seldom. But and don't get me wrong, Steve. Look, I know that CPD played a part in fracturing the relationship with some communities, and we're working hard to repair those things. But we need those citizens to step up, too, because you're absolutely on point. You know, the bottom line is this stuff starts at home. So we do a better job parenting and teach morals and values at home, then the police won't have to deal with them when they come out here on the streets.
Right, because they'll be going to a job and they won't be going out gangbanging. Before we let you run, too, again, I just wanted to salute the fact that you own some of the difficulties that have occurred in the department long before you were the boss, and that you're working hard to repair them. Is there anybody else in management you want to recognize that's getting it done as well?
Well, you know, my first deputy is doing a great job, as well as we started a new initiative where the new recruits go to the DeSable Museum. We've been taking them to the Holocaust Museum for years, and why we never did it, I don't know. But my hat's off to Deputy Chief Calloway, Robin Robinson, and Chief Barbara West, because they came up with the idea of sending the recruits to the DeSable Museum now to learn African-American history and how, you know, some of these issues cropped up in the African-American neighborhood. So I think that's a huge step forward to us because, you know, let's face it, police officers come from all different types of cultures.
Sure.
What I do know is that when you don't know a culture, you tend to fear it. And so we're breaking those silos down to indoctrinate people into the diverse cultures that we have in the city of Chicago. So we're making strides. We're not there yet. We still have a lot of work to do, but we're moving in that direction.
And I'll let you go on this, but I know one thing that is the ultimate truth. You want the bad guys off the street, but the last thing you want on your force is a bad cop as well. So I know that identifying the few bad apples you have and dealing with that is a big deal, too.
It is. I mean, because, you know, the majority of men and women that make up the Chicago Police Department want to do a good job. But to those bad actors, it's our challenge to identify them and get them off this job, you know, because we simply don't need that. Because we serve the citizens of this great city. That's who we work for. So our obligation is to treat them respectfully and fairly.
Working on it every single day, making it right, making it better than it has been. That's his job. And keep up the good health stuff. You keep losing weight, you're making me look bad.
All right, Steve. Thanks a lot.
All right, all
Take
the
care,
best.
Superintendent.
It's Eddie Johnson.